Okay, let's get right into the question. Answer period, I'll call on people. And the lady in the green.
Yes, what do you think about Sharia law banking? And are you aware of the fact that, because I work in a law firm, as part of the CLA curriculum, lawyers are asked to study Sharia law to take a course in this for credit?
This is, again, we could go into any number of specific phenomena that are going on. There's an endless number of them. And as Sharia continues to expand, there will be ever more of them. And this is what I want to get the Islam critical movement, if I can coin a term, away from this syndrome in which we are constantly reacting to. I mean, we need to know about what's going on. I'm not saying that. But basically, the Islam critical movement has consisted of an endless number of articles, complaints, endless fetching about, oh, now this has happened. Now we're yielding to Sharia banking laws. Now we're yielding to Sharia private courts for marriages. Now we're yielding to this. Now we're yielding to footbeds and universities and places of work. And this endless connection, what does it do? It just means that we're sitting here worrying about something while it continues to expand. That's why I want Islam critics to go beyond talking about the problem and instead talking about what to do to stop the problem.
Yeah, first of all, Larry, I just want to thank you for your clarity of thought and bravery. Honestly, it's courage. And if you really think about this in a broader scope, I think, if anything, you are not an extremist, because we're not at the point where we're going to be confronting this in the streets like they are in Europe, and where there are daily, literally, wars in the streets. Right. What you're proposing is a peaceful measure, a peaceful solution. So you should be commended for that. If anything, that's a moderate solution to what eventually will be a radical necessity. Now, my point is...
That's very well put.
Thank you. My point is this. Beyond the immigration problem, we also have a conversion problem here in the prisons and elsewhere in this country, Nation of Islam. What do we do about that?
Well, first of all, what I mentioned before, Islam must be, by law or by constitutional amendment, excluded from First Amendment protections. As long as it has those First Amendment protections, there really is nothing we can do about, for example, having Muslim clerics in the prisons, in the armed forces, spreading Islam, spreading Sharia, spreading Native America. So they should be allowed to do that. They shouldn't be there. But we can only stop them once Islam is officially defined under U.S. law and constitution as not a religion, but as a political ideology.
But couldn't we use the existing alien sedition laws and on top of that, the
real statute? That's a very interesting possibility. I've looked at that. I don't have anything particular to say about the moment, but it is a one valid option that can be pursued.
Over here, this gentleman.
I have a two-part question. One is, how can we get at the root of the problem, which is in the schools, which is in academia? They teach the principle of non-discrimination and brainwash and indoctrinate our children to think in this liberal modality. And the second point, I think the most important thing is that, you know, to work with the political leaders who can get into government and represent your ideas, people like Rick Santorum or people like Adam Hasner, Peter King, and especially someone who I would like to see in Congress in 2010, Lieutenant Colonel Allen West, as a person who fought actually in Iraq and understands the situation and would stand up for the type of laws and get them enacted in Congress. And, you know, what
I don't know that there's anybody in politics now who grasps.
Sue Myrick.
Again, it has to start. It's not going to come from politics right away. It's going to come by people like us spreading a different way of thinking. Because we are caught, even as I said before, the conservative movement is caught in this nowhere spiral, this circle of just going around and around. Oh, it's terrible. Islam is terrible. It's terrible. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. We're threatened. And no ideas of what to do about it. Mm-hmm. And so that has to be broken. Serious proposals have to start to be proposed by people in all kinds of forms like this, elsewhere on the web, organizations, articles, and then that view will start to become a recognized view in the mainstream. And then politicians will start to pick up on it.
Back there, you've had your hand up for a while.
Do you think that anti-discrimination is like a discrimination?
Well, of course, it works only. I could talk for
hours. It works for certain.
It's only directed in favor of designated favored groups, which would be racial minorities, sexual minorities, non-Western peoples, non-Western religions. It's not really a double standard. It's only a double standard if you think that the liberals believe in pure non-discrimination. No, they are using non-discrimination as a weapon to destroy the West. So Western society, traditional Western society, cannot discriminate. But that rule is not made against the other groups. They are liberated and empowered. We see, for example, the hate speech laws, where they openly state that the hate speech laws are really only directed against people talking about minorities. If you're a member of a majority, you can't be a victim of a hate speech because you can't be victimized if you're a member of a majority. So the underlying, what I've said, that was not the topic of my talk, is the fact that liberalism and the left, its real project is to tear down our society.
True. I have a question. How does a policy to limit the political influence of Islam actually get traction? What's stopping us? We know that, fears of appearing to have the discrimination mindset a part of it, but there's much more.
I think it's just too soon to talk about getting political traction. People that talk about the way I'm talking are a minority within minority within minority. I gave a speech 2 months ago conference in Baltimore, where Mike was the organizer, the Preserving Western Civilization Conference. I started off saying, I was also about Islam, but it was a different speech, and I started off saying, we have to be both realistic and imaginative. The realistic part is recognizing what deep problem we are in and how far away from the solution we are, given our actual governing beliefs. We cannot pretend, we cannot imagine that we're in some situation where we're about to be able to turn this around politically. There would have to be a major shift in the way people think. Because the way people think now, the kinds of things I'm saying will be just automatically dismissed, off the charts. So that's the realism part. And then the imaginative part is thinking, okay, that's where we are now. But 70 years ago, it would have been inconceivable that we would allow mass Muslim immigration and the empowerment of Muslims in the West. Who would have imagined that we would end up now where we're letting this happen? So if things could change that radically between 70 years ago and today, they could change back then. But the way of thinking must change first. And then it becomes a base of opinion and sentiment and attitudes where the political change itself becomes possible. And this is why I say the Islam critics, even though it's not possible at this moment to institute anything like what I'm talking about, say an end of Muslim or a reduction of Muslim immigration, even if it's not possible at this moment, they need to say it. Because if you're not at least laying out where this is going, then you're laying this terrible problem with all the fears and anxieties connected with this growth of Islam, laying that on your readers, and then giving them no solution. So you must lay out the solution, even if it seems in the distance, because that way you're opening people's minds to new possibilities.
Okay, yes. When you were talking about the regulations that you wanted, for immigration, my understanding is that in Europe, where of course they're confronting the problem integration that they're going to want integration as opposed to
which countries?
Norway, Denmark, Sweden.
Really?
What about Malmo's been taken over?
Completely. You have to
Sweden
speak.
Is now requiring that Malmo
you must speak Swedish. You must swear fealty to their constitution. The same as in Norway. If you cannot do that, they say, do not come here.